Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, July 22nd, 2015. This is episode 130 of The Big Show, and I am just thrilled to have you here. It is always a pleasure. It always makes me so happy that you tune in each week, and I genuinely appreciate it. Now, hopefully this week, I think we've got a really good show, some really cool stuff to talk about, and it will be worthwhile for you to be here, too. You'll feel really glad about it, too. There are really two areas where I want to focus. The first is a new report that comes out of Comscore that it was highlighted by our very good friends over at Marketing Charts, where the Comscore study noted that for the first time ever in March of 2015, smartphones now accounted for half of the time that U.S. adults spent with digital media. So they spent more time on smartphones than anything else. Their time with smartphones was half if you look across all demographics. What's crazy about this number is that when you get within the demographics, the numbers get even more striking. So across all U.S. adults, half of their digital time was spent using either apps or mobile browser, and heavily weighted in favor of apps, 43% to 6%, making up the total of 49%. As the study notes, adult share of digital media time spent with smartphone apps was greater than with desktops, 43% to 39%. Now, what's even more impressive is the fact that as you get inside these numbers, as you look at the way millennials act, as you look at the way that Gen X acts, if you look at the way that young boomers act and the way older boomers act, the numbers get even more impressive. So 18 to 34-year-olds, which would be young millennials to the oldest millennials or very, very young Gen Xers, spent almost 70% of their digital media time with smartphones, 61% on the phone, 8% on tablets. The 35 to 54 group was 50% on smartphone and 13% on tablets, so 63% of their digital media consumption. What's even more impressive, though, is even among online adults aged 55 and over, they spent 30% on their smartphone and 18% on their tablet, so a total of 48%. So almost half among boomers, you know, middle-aged boomers and up, which is crazy. Now, obviously, the study notes that that time with tablets is the largest of any of the three age groups that they called out. So if you're targeting older consumers, you know, I've talked a lot in the past handful of weeks about the importance of millennials to the growth of commerce, to the growth of e-commerce, to the growth of m-commerce, etc. Obviously, some of your businesses may be very focused still on boomers. That ability to leverage how you help on tablets could be a real opportunity for you, definitely something worth checking out. If you're targeting younger audiences, you know, Gen Xers, millennials, etc., you may have an opportunity there to focus more on the smartphone and worry less about the tablet. Now, the data really leads me to the second thing that I want to talk about. Because over the last couple of weeks, over the last week plus, I've been traveling across France. I have spent the last 9 days in three hotels in two cities. And I've had some really interesting experiences that I think apply to lots of businesses. You know, for those of you who know me, I think you're pretty well aware that I do a lot of work in the hotel industry. About half of my clients are in hotels. But what I'm about to talk about is not solely restricted to hotels. So for those of you who aren't in that business, hang with me for a little bit, because I think you're going to be really, really interested to see where this is going. Now, I mentioned I spent nine nights in three hotels in two cities. The first of the hotels was pretty good. It was a little typical, but it was very good overall. Great location, right in the heart of Paris. I was able to get out and see all the things I wanted to see. And when I came back to the room, they had solid Wi-Fi. You know, nothing too spectacular. You had to log in every 24 hours. You had to re-authenticate. But it was free, and the speed was decent, and so I was able to do things when I was back in the hotel room. You know, work items, pleasure items, look up places to go, not use my mobile minutes overseas on my phone. That was pretty helpful and pretty handy. So all in all, it was good. You know, it was not the greatest hotel I've ever stayed in. It was not the worst hotel I've ever stayed in. It wasn't the best experience. It wasn't the worst experience. It didn't overly accommodate my mobile use, but it didn't really limit my mobile use in any major way. The second hotel I stayed in was gorgeous. I was speaking at a conference in a more rural area at a resort in France. I know, tough life. My job is not the worst job out there, believe me. But it was gorgeous, fabulous, old-world charm amidst lots of vineyards, you know, beautiful landscape, beautiful countryside, excellent, excellent wine. I really had a fabulous time from that perspective. The problem is the hotel didn't work at all. And I mean work in the very real sense. We were there for a conference. I was there to speak. The people who were putting on the conference were there to run a successful conference. And the Wi-Fi was, to use a French term, miserable. Right? It was terrible. It was so bad. And by the way, that's the last time you're ever going to hear me speak French, I think. Just a really, really, really bad, bad Wi-Fi experience. On two separate occasions at a certain time of the day, the Wi-Fi just went out and was gone for the rest of the day. We didn't get it back till 7 o'clock the following morning. They also had things like terrible temperature controls. You know, some rooms were too hot, some were freezing, the conference room was stifling. Now, you could argue that that's not what they do, right? And my point here isn't to get on my podcast and complain about a hotel. Notice I'm not saying the name of the hotel. I'm not even saying where the hotel was located. So you could argue that that's not what they do. And on one level, you'd be right. Clearly, it's not what they do. But they claimed that they could when they booked the conference. You have to serve all the customers you claim you will. And if you're going to do business events, if you're going to do support business travel, you need to do that. And obviously, if you're in a different industry and you tell a customer you're going to deliver on something and you don't, that's just going to hurt your brand. The short-term benefit is not going to outweigh long-term negative when people realize they didn't have a good experience or they didn't get what they needed from you. Now, the hotel I'm in tonight is heaven. The room is small. It's an airport hotel. It's part of a small chain of six hotels called Citizen M. And if you haven't heard of it, you should be. You should be paying attention to it because it's a really cool concept. They call it Citizen M as in mobile citizens. That's a tall order to say that they're going to live up to the needs of mobile citizens in the places where they exist. But so far, they do live up to it. There's free open Wi-Fi. You know, it was a piece of cake to get connected. But they do everything in a very mobile conscious way. For instance, everything within the room is controlled by an in-room tablet that's just sitting here that allows me to control things like the lights, the temperature, the blinds, what time the alarm will go off, if I want to surf on the internet or browse the internet, what entertainment options I want. But they also do things, like this blows my mind. I'm in an international city. I am an American, clearly. And it's one of the few hotels I've ever checked into that they actually have different wall plugs for each of the most common types of plugs that you see. US, European, and Asian standard outlets. One of each, right next to the bed. And USB outlets right next to the bed. So you can simply plug your USB cord and charge your phone right there in the wall without using up one of the outlets from the other standards. So if I didn't have an adapter with me, I could simply plug in my laptop or my phone directly into the wall using the USB for my phone or USB for my tablet and the US standard plug for my laptop or one of my other devices. That's just so smart. There's tons of outlets all over the room. I mean, I'm staggered by the amount of access that I have there. So that's all pretty good, right? But here's what's even cooler. They claim, now this is the first time I've stayed in one, but they claim that all the changes you make to the environment using the tablet are stored to your profile. They have a profile on me now, and the next time I come in, I should expect to see the lights, the temperature, the blinds, the alarm, the internet, the entertainment, etc., set to my favorite standard. That's really cool. That's really accommodating a truly mobile customer. Now, clearly, this is my first stay here, so we have to see if they deliver on that the next time I'm back. But the early indication is pretty good, and I'll explain why. I checked in at the front desk, which, by the way, is entirely self-service. There's someone there to help you if you need it. But when I checked in, the first thing they asked me was, do you want to check in English or one of the other languages they support? And of course I said English because that's the only language I speak, and candidly, I sometimes struggle to make myself understood in English. And when I got to the room, all the controls on the tablet in the room were already set to English. Because they already said, we know this about you, we know you speak English, so why wouldn't we just make it work that way all the time? And if you think about it, this is where it stops being about hotels. Remember when I said this wasn't about hotels? Well, here's the thing. Why doesn't my ATM card do that? Right? Every time I get money out of the bank, it asks me, what language do I want to transact in? Now, these folks know about my money. Why don't they know what language I speak? That's just one example. How many times do you ask your customers the same question? Sure, you might only ask it once in each transaction, but if you ask it in every transaction, are you really helping? Are you really understanding, these are how my customers live? So I stayed at these three different hotels, and one of these experiences is exactly what you would expect it to be, is exactly what you would want it to be. And it's what your mobile customers and your millennial customers increasingly will take for granted. Right? So one of these is doing the right job, one was just okay, and one really runs the risk of losing its customers to others who really get what it is that their customers want. And as you look at how you interact with your customers and all the different touch points, you need to ask yourself, how can I make it easy for people to do business with me on mobile? How can I make it easy for customers to do business with me in the way that they choose? How can I remember the things that they tell me so I don't ask them again and again? Because that's what your customers are going to take for granted. And the better job you do of that, the better job they will, the more likely it is that they will become citizens of your world. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week. As ever, I do so want to thank you for tuning in. I want to remind you, you can check out the show notes for this episode and for all of our episodes at timpeter.com/podcasts. While you're there, you can also subscribe to the podcast, so you can get it in your favorite feed, in your favorite podcatcher every single week. Just go to timpeter.com/podcast and click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find there. You can also find us in iTunes or Stitcher Radio or any of your favorite podcatchers. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or Plain Old Thinks Out Loud. We should turn up under any of those. You can email me at podcast@timpeter.com with any comments, questions, complaints, concerns, or anything that comes top of mind for you. I'm always happy to hear from you. And, of course, you can now find us on Facebook at facebook.com/timpeterassociates. So I do hope to hear from you. I want to thank you again for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. I do look forward to seeing you here on next Thinks Out Loud next week. I hope you have a great rest of the week, a terrific weekend ahead, and I'll look forward to speaking with you next week on Thinks Out Loud again. Until then, take care, everybody.